Today on Real Life Radio.
Whoever's going to lead in your life, the spirit or the flesh, has got to domineer the mind. That's why the Bible says, Paul said to the Corinthians, bring every thought you have under the captivity or the control of Christ. Because if you don't, the flesh will take charge. Very, very important truth.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Wise Series with a message called Theology and Me, Part 2. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives? You know, God made everything beautiful in its time. And inside of each human being is the desire for purpose and order, to know and to understand that we have eternal value and a reason for our existence. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that we all have values that we live by. We have the ability to love, to create, to make moral judgments, and the will to choose how we want to live. But when we allow sin to rule, it causes a real problem for us. We really need to let the Spirit lead over our physical desires. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When we talk about theology, as we learned last time, the words, the study of God, and we talk about who we are, what is our relation as humans before God. The Bible right here tells us that it is God who is responsible for placing eternity in our hearts. That means that every human being, according to the Bible, you judge and see if this is true. That according to the Bible, every human being, when they think, when they ponder, when they reason, when they wonder, their minds, our minds, tend toward thinking about, is there an eternity? Is there a God? What happens to me when I die? Job asked it. The oldest book in the Bible and one of the oldest books in the world. Did you know that? Before Genesis was written by Moses, there was the book of Job. And Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? That's a question that is on the lips and in the mind of every human being. If I die, will I live again? Now, maybe you haven't thought about that because you're not close to dying, so you think. Maybe you're young and you're not thinking about it. But let me tell you, when that warning button goes off or whatever is going on, you think the thought is, could this be it? And Job asked that question. And God answered Job, by the way. God answered Job and gave him an answer. And it's in your Bible to read. Job said, I know that even though I die and I turn to dust, listen to this. If I die and I turn to dust, do you not turn to dust when you die? That's kind of humbling, isn't it? You pull up tonight in your Ferrari and your Armani. That's nice. Did you come in your flip-flops and your board shorts? That's nice. Listen, what's behind all that stuff? Going to turn to dust. Wow, that's humbling. That's okay. You're not done yet. Job said, but I know this. After my body has turned to dust, I will see God in my flesh. Job was given the understanding by God of resurrection, of life. And so, church, we touched on last time, we'll go as fast as we can tonight. Number one, if you remember that, we looked at this regarding theology and me. We asked this question, what am I as a human being? What am I? And we talked about the foundations of God's creative powers making the human being. Some of you were surprised to find this out because there's so much talk about angels all the time. And we mentioned how God has created you, the human being, lower in this world than the angels. But the Bible says, in the end, we will be crowned with a greater glory. And in fact, we will be like God. Listen, not like angels. Be happy. You're not going to get wings. You won't need them. You're going to be like the resurrected Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. Angels, the Bible says, become our servants in all eternity. You can read more about that in Psalm chapter 8, where the Bible tells us that God made us a little lower than the angels, but it's a messianic verse concerning Messiah, but it's also referring to mankind and the human being that is saved by Christ Jesus and enters into glory. Regarding these foundations, we studied that Genesis 1, verses 24 to 28 spoke to us about God's image, that it is the Bible, not a psychologist. It's a Bible, not a philosopher. It's the Bible, not a theologian, who tells us that we've been created in the image of God, that we have God's moral likeness or God's moral image. We are fallen. We're sinful. That's a fact. But we have the ability to create. We have the ability to love and to hate even, to make peace and to make war. We have these attributes, though they be fallen, mention of the things of God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we saw that the Bible tells us that man was created for a purpose, and that purpose in Adam's life was to tend the garden. We don't have a clue what that means other than he maintained the garden. But what was that garden really like? Only our imaginations could even possibly try to know. But the fact that we know from God's creation, well, even listen, if you're here tonight, if you're watching tonight and you're not a religious person at all, you have no religious faith, as we would call it, that you would have to concede the fact that the human being is exceptional. And all of creation, the human being is exceptional. Somebody might say, well, we are the pinnacle of the evolutionary process. But if you look at the information, if you look at the data, if you look at the science, you look at the arguments, it's getting harder these days, by the way, if you don't know this, it's getting harder these days to be an atheist. Scientific evidence has revealed more and more about the existence of God or the argumentation for God. It's quite awesome. But this is where we dove into. We looked at three things. Well, we didn't look at three things. We started to. We looked at one thing, and that was regarding the trichotomy of man. Church, remember this? Number one, we were talking about the fact that we are physically aware of ourselves, and this is the workings of God in you. Regarding theology in you, you might ask the question, why should I care? Well, number one, it's reasonable that tonight that you exist and you're very aware, and in our world that we live in at this time of our existence where we're at in this physical time frame, we are very aware of our physical existence. That's not to say that we're ignorant of our soul existence or our spirit existence, but we're very mindful of the flesh. And the Bible says if we do not come into the spirit life of knowing Christ Jesus, we are in bondage to our flesh. And we learned about that. And so I don't need to go through all that data again. It's probably in your notes. But we saw in leaving off last time the fact that God breathed into Adam. This is awesome. God created the physicalness of Adam, and yet he was not living. You all need to remember that. If you didn't hear this before, you need to hear it now. That your body, apart from God breathing life into you, your body is a machine that is actually non-operational. It's dead. If your soul leaves your body, you're dead. Think of it. This thing is used by the real Jack. Your body, who are you? You're not your body. See, you and I look in the mirror and we think that's us. That's not us. We saw in John chapter 1, verse 4, that it says, in him, that is in Christ Jesus, in him was life, and the life was, and I'll say is still, the light of men. God brings illumination to the human life. You're not an animal. You love your dog, you love your cat, I understand all that, that's super good. Listen, they're animals. You're not an animal. God says, I have made you. That's the declaration of the Bible. God says, right in front, no apology, I made you in my image.
Amen.
And Jesus didn't come. Imagine, he didn't come as a poodle. He didn't come as a reptile. He didn't come as a monkey. Jesus came as a human.
Amen.
He came to save us. He came to rescue us.
Amen.
God made you and I in his image. And so, it's a powerful thing. So we pick it up now where we left off. Here we go. And it's number two, it's this, is that we are thought-centered individuals. Can you write that down? We're physical. That's what this is. But we, number two, we are also thought-centered individuals or humans. Or put the word down, soul. We are soul-ish. The Greek word is psuche, where we get the word psychology. is the words or study of the mind or the soul. And that's one third of who you and I are. We are body, and the Bible says we are soul. We have a soul. And that is our thought world. That's our thought life. And you know that, especially if you're a Christian. Your thought life works one way, and your thought life is active, and your thought life is influenced. We talked about that. We ended last time together quoting Watchman Nee in his book. If you want to get a tremendous book, I think it's called The Soul of Man by Watchman Nee. It's only about that thick, fine print. It takes you a life to read it, but there's some deep stuff in there. And he talked about how the soul is the mistress of the man. Do you remember that? The soul is the mistress. If the flesh is in charge, the mind is going to think selfish, carnal, fleshy thoughts. And the mind will say, let's do all this, grab all the pleasure we can. And your spirit's dead. The Bible says, without Christ, you're spiritually dead. But when you're born again, Jesus said, your mind is awakened to a new flow or flood of input. And the spirit now is alive, and you have a hunger for the Bible. You have a hunger to worship. You have a hunger to prayer. You have a hunger to know God and to fellowship together. And you wake up in the spirit. You come alive. The Bible says you're quickened, and the soul gets all excited. Your thought life. Woo! And all this stuff's going on. And now because you're so spiritually charged, the mind is saying, let's go tell somebody. Let's go witness. Let's go pray. Let's go. And the flesh is over here saying, wait, what about me? I want to sleep in all day and eat everything and have all my sexual appetites fulfilled. And then after that, I want to go spend all my money on me. And I want to think about me. The flesh is always about comfort. You know, that's why we love that stuff, comfort. Comfort food, comfort. It's all for your comfort. We love that stuff. Room service, please. The flesh loves it, and the soul goes, whoa, yeah. Whoever's going to lead in your life, the spirit or the flesh, has got to domineer the mind. That's why the Bible says, Paul said to the Corinthians, bring every thought you have under the captivity or the control of Christ. Amen. Because if you don't, the flesh will take charge. Very, very important truth. And so when we think about the mind, again, remember, you are a little trinity, as it were. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. Created in the image of God in his moral likeness. It's interesting to note that you have a will. Your will is very strong, by the way. It manifests. All of our wills are strong. It depends on how it's... you can bring out the strength of someone's will or the passion of someone's will. You might say, I'm just some very quiet and passive. You are in maybe most things. There is something that will get you going, and it'll be your hill to die on. Everybody's got a hill to die on. You know what I'm talking about? And it's interesting because the will is the dynamic. It's where you have your convictions, and there's something that grabs you. And you have that, and that's your will. And that's been, listen, that's part of God's engineering of your personality. I always get in trouble for this. It's an original thought. If it gets me in trouble, then it's my original thought. If it's from God, then you have to deal with it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He didn't die for your personality. That doesn't give you an excuse to tell people, well, excuse my French. No, you cannot do that. But if you're quiet, you're quiet to the glory of God. If you're an introvert, you're introvert to the glory of God. If you're an extrovert, you're an extrovert to the glory of God. People need to stop apologizing for their personality. Amen. When Jesus made them that way. What he wants to do is take you and your personality, which are inseparable, and use your life to the glory of God. Theology in me is God living in you. And I'm reminded just saying that, the word enthusiasm. Many of you already know this word, but I have one of my favorite words to talk about. That word enthusiasm is a massive compound word. And you break it up. E-N, in enthusiasm, E-N is the word in Greek for the indwelling of God. To dwell inside. Theos, or enthusi, Theos is God himself. Indwelling, God. Asm, enthusiasm. What's asm? It's root to the word spasm, action, movement. So if you are a NASCAR enthusiast, that word actually means NASCAR lives inside of you and it animates your life. Isn't that interesting? Are you a baseball enthusiast? Whatever it might be. Remember when we used to be following sports? But whatever you're excited about, you're enthusiastic about that, that means that entity dwells in you and it animates your life. Well, I love how Noah Webster points out that the word enthusiasm most accurately describes the life of the Christian. God is in you. He animates your life. It's a beautiful, beautiful word. And then listen, the third thing before we press on is the fact that you are in fact a very spiritual, cognizant being. I said the word spiritual. I didn't say born again. I said spiritual. People are spiritual. You go all around the world, even with cultures without a Bible. They haven't even heard about Jesus yet. And they have a whole worship system. Did you know that? All around the world. Anthropologists tell us this. Sociologists tell us this. That man in nature by himself is a religious or spiritual creature. And the Bible talks about that. It's no surprise to the Bible. It reveals that. And again, you might be an atheist tonight, so you think. But you're not a real atheist. I love what Billy Graham said at Harvard University. He said, I don't believe I've ever met one true atheist in my life. That's a strong statement coming from a man who was so global in his reach. I can tell you my little snapshot of being alongside people when they die. I have found that those who are believers, as the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. I've also seen people who claim to be atheists, and the pain and the suffering and the fear of the grave and death and what's on the other side leads to me being called to go to their bed or home. Why am I here? Because our uncle wants to talk about God. He's dying. Right on. Let's do it. And here's another thing. I mean, don't call me unless you're serious. Because when the doctor says, so how are they? The family's asked me to talk to them. And the doctors are fantastic to a pastor. The doctors go, the dude's got no hope. He's down. He's out. I don't think he's going to make it through tonight. I said, thank you. So then I walk in. No, I'm serious. If you're a doctor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When the pastor shows up, in fact, the doctors love when pastors show up because they don't have to tell the family. It's not easy. So when you walk in, so you got it from the doctor. You walk in there. So are you walking? How's it going? Oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine. You're dying. You're dying and you're not a Christian. Not fine. Not fine. Listen, your body's dying. This always freaks people out. Your soul, your spirit, it's not sick.
Right. That's right.
You have cancer of the whatever. Your soul, your eternal part that lives forever, ain't sick. As soon as this dies, this thing here, seriously, it's just a biological machine to move you around. We look at it, oh. Well, no, seriously, we get fixated on it. Pamper, 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 while our spirit starves to death. Pamper, 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 while our soul is emaciated. Right? Think of it. There's a guy that was buried years ago in either Rose Hills or Forest Lawn. True story. Rich guy was buried in a Ferrari. They bought up numerous plots, buried the dude in a Ferrari. He wanted to be buried in his Ferrari. And I don't know if this is true or false. This is what Dr. Wiersbe writes in his commentary on it. That a family member overheard the crane operator when he was lowering the Ferrari into the grave said, man, that's living. I don't think so. I don't think so. I want you to look at something that is very common knowledge. How many of you have kids in college? Raise your hand. You have kids in college? Quick, rescue them. Get them out. From innovations, from this article, What is Consciousness? Scientists are beginning to unravel a mystery that has long vexed philosophers. You know what? No, they're not. They have to write headings like that to make themselves feel better. Believe me. Go research all you want. The greatest scientists of all time collectively today don't have a clue about what consciousness is. Drives them crazy. I want to show you a quote. Next slide, I believe. That might be the slide. While you're looking at that, I'll read the quote. How about that? It's just down lower, and maybe you can see it there. I am looking for it. I have it. Here it is. Listen to this. Carefully, listen. By the way, this is by Christoph Koch, a neuroscientist. Listen carefully. Consciousness is everything you experience. Is that a true statement? Just think for a moment. Consciousness is everything you experience? When they don't even know what consciousness is, they don't know what it is. They can't define it. Did you know that consciousness is nowhere relegated or discovered anywhere in your brain? Your brain is a physical thing. It's only a tool. Consciousness is in there. And if you don't think that's accurate, these guys do understand. They say, it's in there. It's the real you. They projected, some of these guys say that even things that don't have life have a consciousness. Okay, stop right there. That's Star Wars weirdness. This first statement falls on its face. Consciousness is everything you experience. This is a modern New Age statement that is being propagated on the college campus. Listen, it is the tune struck in your head. No, it's not. If we don't know what it is, how do we define things like this to it? The fierce love for a child and the bitter knowledge that eventually all feelings will end. They're describing physical things that you experience based upon their definition. If I grab these electrical cords and pull them apart and stuck them in my mouth and blew myself up here, you know, oh, you just experienced consciousness. Do you hear that? That's not what it is. They're trying to understand something without God, so they relegate it down to things that they can understand that's in front of them, and then they apply it to the grand thing that cannot be understood. You cannot even fathom your consciousness apart from God. It makes no sense. We are biological machines apart from our consciousness. It's what gives us the life that we are. It's who you are.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Theology and Me, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, Theology and Me, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, are you ready to pursue all that God has for you? Your journey starts by filling your heart, your mind, and your spirit with the truth of God's Word. At jackhibbs.com, we've got a wealth of information to keep you on that right path. jackhibbs.com has an easy way to navigate through whatever you're looking for. For instance, when you click on the Media tab, you'll find options like Real Life TV and our Real Life Radio broadcasts, along with Pastor Jack's podcast called Real Life Talk. You'll also find Pastor Jack's current teachings, verse-by-verse Bible studies, and live streams from the pulpit. Do you need to catch up on a particular Bible study? That's easy. Simply hit the search icon. You'll find just what you need. All the media that Pastor Jack has to offer right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.